Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
What the fuck is that?
This is my new fidget toy.
It's for those of us that can't grow up.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? It reminds me of like a prop out of that movie, The Fifth Element, with Bruce Willis.
I've never seen that movie.
We've talked about it before.
But
it's a crazy, weird movie. It's kind of futuristic. Like that looks, everything's neon colored.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind
of
like
a... Does it fall apart or does it just stick together?
No. It's a, for those that don't know, it's a round ball that's made of 8 gears. And so when you spin one part of it, everything spins. But the center of the ball is not in the center. So all the gears are weird cone-shaped sizes and everything else. It's just interesting.
But I thought this was going to be metal.
No, it's 3D printed. So it's plastic and super lightweight. Pretty interesting.
But there's always some weird thing.
Yeah, I got to have something to keep my hands busy.
Over here at my house.
Yeah.
At my house, when I come to your house.
I got to have something to keep my hands busy, and if Danielle's not going to sit here all day long, then I got to find something else.
This reminds me of one of those Chinese finger deals where it's like, pick purple, 1, 2, 3, 4. You like Joey, 1, 2, 3, 8.
You're going to live in a mansion.
Yeah, it's just fucking weird as shit, dude. Get out of here with that crap.
Yep. So
I'd say take stronger meds, but I mean...
These are the meds.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think you should be medicated.
Yeah.
I've seen you on a gummy. It's not...
Oh, I'm pretty useless.
It's funny. I'll give you that. But yeah, you are...
I'm pretty useless.
I am too. That's why I don't take that
shit. That's why I do them to go to bed.
Dude, I can't...
I don't leave the house.
I don't want to leave the house. What do you do? I lock myself in a closet and I stare at the wall. I can't handle that shit, dude.
8:10, take the gummy. By 10 o'clock, I'm out.
Dude, 5 milligrams and I am like retarded.
Yeah, well,
I'm
a stubborn retard, so it takes me a little bit more than that.
I will laugh until I can't breathe at nothing.
Yeah.
Like literally nothing.
It's funny. Sometimes Danielle and I will get the giggles and we're laughing at shit all night long. Other times we launch into these like deeply philosophical conversations.
Going down a rabbit hole.
Last night, we're standing in the kitchen. And just, we were talking for so long, Danielle was like, I got to sit down. I'm getting dizzy.
What were you even talking about?
All kinds of random shit. Like, everything.
You know what?
It just uncovers things left and right.
You know, I mean, I know this is a business podcast, but you know what might be fun? Is you and her do the podcast. I come over here. I will stay completely sober. I'll video, I'll record, and you both take like 40. And then, like, after an hour, you come up here and you shoot a podcast. That could be entertaining.
Yeah. Or...
Or it's just two people sitting there drooling on themselves, staring at each other.
You stage it to where it's like, okay, 30 minutes ago, we took this gummy. So you guys are going to watch it take effect through the show.
I'm just over there making weird, like, asking weird questions. Hey, what do you guys think about this?
There is a
just
podcast.
Luking up stuff. Hey, what do you think about this? Oh my God. They're just freaking out.
Yep.
That might be good.
Who knows?
No, not who knows.
Much ado about nothing on that one.
You know what? Sometimes you got to have a break.
Yeah.
You got to have a break, buddy.
Speaking of alternative podcasts, though, alternate podcasts, for the listeners of the show, David and I are probably going to soon be starting a political podcast called Frozen Delaware. And it is not about the state of Delaware.
Maybe.
It's about the chaos that was happening in the government that caused George Washington to get in a boat and cross the frozen Delaware to kill motherfuckers for a 3% tax on tea. So,
which is ironic because the original federal income tax was also 3%.
Yeah.
And now for most of us, it's 22.
Yeah. And I'm actually repping one of our shirts right now. Taxation is theft. If you go to frozendelaware.com.
Yeah, you just click on shop. It takes you right to our store. You can order right from it. You know what?
You can buy one of our shirts.
Once in a while, I will be very aware of how pessimistic I am. Just, you know, like, oh man, dude, I got to change. I haven't bought a shirt.
Yeah, that's a problem.
They're nice. It's not that I don't want one. It's just that I wanted to see what they were like.
Yep.
That's the pessimism I'm talking about. Like, they're drop shipped, so I wanted to make sure they weren't trash. They're pretty nice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. They're pretty nice.
I should maybe
get one.
I actually owe somebody in the Facebook group a free piece of apparel from the store. So I was doing a promo in the Facebook group for...
Did you get that pre-approved?
No.
Then it fucking ain't happening.
I'm paying for it.
Oh, okay. I like that too.
I'm going to have them order it, and then I'm just going to Venmo them and reimburse them.
You could just get their information and order it for them.
No. I want them to visit the store.
Oh, okay.
But,
All right.
Yeah, we have a Facebook group for a federal income tax strike. This is nothing related to the void, by the way.
No, I didn't know you were going to bring this up. You've kind of thrown my whole fucking list off a fucking canter here.
That group, so the average American pays $13,880 in federal income tax. Most of the listeners of this show probably pay well more than that every year. If you run the average of 13,880, basically for every 72,000 people that pay tax, that's $1 billion in tax. And so we started a Facebook group to perform a federal income tax strike until our tax dollars can be done being wasted on fraud, like leering centers and non-emergency medical transport and all of this other stuff that Nick Shirley is uncovering.
I'd like to be very clear here. I'm not in the group, so if you think you're going to find me, I'm not in there.
Yeah. But the group did surpass 72,000 members last week, and I made a promise early on in the group that when the group hits 72,000 members, I'll pick somebody and they can get a free piece of apparel from the store. So we're at like 81,000 members now. So
all right, I'll pay for that.
No,
I won't. No, you won't.
Which is kind of crazy. The group's over 80,000 strong, and it's only been up and running for just over like it's been up and running for like 65 days.
Dude, people hate paying taxes.
It's crazy. Yeah,
Janine, so. Just on taxes, like her and I every year, and this. I'm not trying to throw her under the bus or anything, but every year she's like, oh my God, I can't believe we got to pay that. And I can't believe we got to pay this. And I'm like, babe, we have this talk every year.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Taxes suck. You know, I know it, you know it. I said, just think about how much that bill would be if your wages weren't taxed and we had to write like those additionally.
Yeah.
Like instead of our business, like on top of our business taxes. And she's like, what do you think that would be? I get the W-2 out. I'm like, okay, well, let's look. You paid X, Y, and Z, this, that, and the other. It's like we literally paid, I think it was 42.
You've been feeding it in throughout the year.
I can't remember if it was 42 or 48,000 this year. Like an astronomical amount, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God. I was like, if we could go back to where people had to go down on Friday or I can't remember if it was weekly or monthly. I think it was monthly. But you had to go down originally before they could take that out of your check and write them a check.
Yeah.
And they realized, you know, if we just hide this from them, we can take more and they won't be as upset. Like if people had to go down every week or every month and write that check in person,
yep.
Dude, we wouldn't be paying these taxes.
Yeah.
They'd be like her. They'd be loading a machete in their hip belt pocket and a fucking gun in the other and be like, nah,
yep,
I'm done paying these.
Yep.
I wish, like, if so, if, I'm trying not to get on a frozen Delaware tangent because that's for another podcast. But man, it makes me so fucking mad. Oh my God, it makes me mad.
Yep.
It's a lot of money, dude. A lot.
So one of the things that, here's your tie to business.
I wasn't looking for one, but go ahead.
I know. So as I moderate that group, with the conflict that's happened in Iran over the weekend, there has been a lot of off-topic posts in that group. And all those off-topic posts, you just get into everyone's different opinions, and then the comments just turn into an argument section. Some people are for the war in Iran, some people are against it, and all this stuff. And in this tax strike group that we have, it is a nonpartisan group. We want the left and the right and everybody in there because this tax fraud affects everybody equally, right? And so I'm using this group as a way to bring the left and the right together to combat one issue only, right? And that is taxpayer-funded fraud. And so this Iranian conflict and everything else brings up all the money that we send over to Israel and everything like that. And you end up with all these arguments.
Well, it's a gray area because those are tax dollars.
It's tax money being spent, but it's not fraud. It's policy. And the group is...
Policy and fraud are twin sisters.
They're close.
They're like...
But like
it takes a little bit of fraud to get that policy passed. So once it's passed from fraud to policy, does that really mean it's not fraud?
Well, so like...
I mean, I get your point, but it's like...
Yeah. And so like we're having... Like you end up with all these arguments in the group about, you know, should we fund the military? Should we not? Should we fund the police? Should we not? And all this stuff. And
gotta fund the military.
I put together a little presentation for the group to do like a live video in the group just yesterday. And, you know, America is one of the unique nations to where our government can't silence its people, right? We have the First Amendment.
Yeah, this ain't the UK.
And history has proven itself that without the First Amendment, without a constitution, or with conditions present where the government can silence you, it never works out good for the citizens. And so what happens instead in America, because the government can't silence you, what they do instead is they just divide you and they get you to silence each other. And so, in other words, they create all of these divisive areas of conflict and conversation, and then you and I argue about something, and now our opinions cancel each other out. And so,
well, they're
able to silence the masses just by keeping the masses at odds with each other.
Well, they don't silence them. They don't cancel each other out. But your attention, instead of being focused on the government 2v1, it's focused on each other 1v1.
Yeah.
And then they can just lay in the shadows.
Yes.
You know, and pretend like it's, this is just all your guys' fault.
Yeah.
Like, you don't agree with this person. This person doesn't agree. We don't agree with that party. You know, all of that stuff. It's just smoke and mirrors is really all it is.
Yeah. But I went to the group with a little bit of a speech prepared for that. And talked about, like, this is why we're shutting these kinds of posts down. It's not that I disagree with you. It's not that I disagree with you at all. It's that if we open the group up to arguments over what our taxpayer dollars should and shouldn't fund, then the group loses its focus and we never achieve the objective of stopping the fraud. But yeah, this is like the design of the media, that is to keep people at odds with each other. And so your tie to business is the same thing happens inside your business. You will have guys where they have an objective to do. You'll have team members where, like, it's your objective to auger drains or it's your objective to install furnaces. But then everyone starts getting opinions about other parts of the business that don't pertain to them, but they just want to voice their opinion on it and be right. And so now you get all your team arguing over parts of business that don't have anything to do with them. And it can stagnate growth in the business. And it can frankly make it very, it can put a big burden on the owner that they didn't expect when they were running into business. And it can cause them to burn out. Because I started a business to sell water heaters and install water heaters, and now I'm dealing with people.
Well, you're selling and installing water heaters, but you're also playing referee over here between three fucking retards that, you know.
Right. Right.
That will burn you out mentally faster than anything else.
Right.
A bad crew, man.
And the moment you allow your crew to the moment you foster a condition where your crew can openly discuss parts of the business that don't apply to them at all, shit goes downhill quick.
Yeah.
And the crew loses all focus of what its job is to do. And the same thing happens in politics as it happens in business. The moment you allow the citizens to argue about policy, like in our case with this group, the moment we allow the group members to argue about policy and argue about nation and religion and all of these things, then we lose the objective of the group, and that was to stop taxpayer-funded fraud. And so that's where a leader, you have to be a good leader in business to keep things on the rails and on the right track.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, me as the leader of that group, I have to jump in there, and I don't enjoy, like, the worst part is, like, I may completely agree with this guy's post about Israel or about funding the war or not funding the war or whatever the case may be. I may completely agree with it, but I can't allow it in the group because it deviates from the path. And the same happens in business. I may agree with one of the employees' ideas for something, but the moment he openly discusses it in front of the whole team, now he's distracting the entire team on a tangent that wasn't even a blip on their radar before he brought it up.
Yeah, and that's the separation from feelings or what you want versus the rules and the guardrails that you've put in place to get us where we ultimately want to go.
Right.
Like in the group, it's, you know, we're trying to fight taxes here. In business, it's, hey, we're trying to make money here.
Yeah.
Like all this other stuff is distraction and bullshit.
Yeah.
Even if I love what we're talking about, love what we disagree about, whatever, think that this employee is right about the way we should change this, and maybe I will down the road, it doesn't matter if it gets out of the line of focus or gets out of the if it tries to derail the train towards where we're going. You still have to, like, okay, I'm just going to buckle down. We're going to reiterate the rules. We're going to reiterate the culture. We're going to reiterate the structure. We're going to move forward. And then if I think there needs to be a change later, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
But right now, I've got to get the train back on the track.
Yeah. And so, like, a real life example of this is you'll have a guy at your company that is maybe underperforming, but instead of looking inward for how to fix, you know, when he's underperforming, he's under-earning usually. And so then he sees a drop in income, and now he's looking everywhere other than inward for the solution to his drop in income. He'll blame the dispatcher for an inefficient routing job that drove him across the city twice in one day. He'll blame the marketing team for getting crappy leads. He'll blame taxes for taking too much out of his check.
Yeah.
And all of these things instead of none of those things he has any control over. But he's doing what he can to think about all these other influences that he has no control over, and then trying to put the blame on that. Instead of focusing on his skills and his sales and his performance in the customer's home, and therefore cranking his paycheck up that way. But that's a humble, humiliating thing to do, is to take ownership of the blame. It's easier to say, well, I could have run another call today if dispatch would have routed me better, or if marketing would have got better calls, or whatever the case may be. And where that translates over into, like, this tax group is you get a lot of people that are under-earning, underperforming, and then saying, well, I'm not a millionaire because of taxes. And it's like, no, you're not a millionaire because you're just not earning enough. That's like the guys that you'll get a kick out of this.
Those are the same people that, you know, are jealous of billionaires, and it's like,
yeah.
Really?
Right. Like, they grew up through the same tax system
yeah.
that you did.
Yeah.
And they made their way through it. and they scrimped and saved and didn't spend when others were spending, and they invested and stacked cash when others were.
They're mad at billionaires, but if the tax code changed, the billionaire would be a trillionaire. You would go up to a millionaire. Like, the gap is still there.
Right.
Like, let's have some perspective here.
Right. And so, but you see a lot of people that they're, this is where the phrase like get your own house in order comes in handy, because it's like you see a lot of people where they are foolish with their money. They're in debt up to their eyeballs. They're not paying their bills, but then they're going to go weigh an opinion on how the government's in debt.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, hold on. I don't think you're in a position to have too big of an opinion on that. And it's crazy to think that the results come from putting in the effort where it makes sense to put it in, not in all of these other areas where you don't control.
Yeah. And people think their opinions are facts. Like, you know, they just, oh, well, I would do it this way. I would do it that way. And they just automatically assume, well, that's just the fact. If I did it this way, it would work out.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe not.
It wouldn't.
Yeah. I, on my political Facebook page, I have this troll that comes around all the time. And he posted on my page, tagging me in it, saying, I've been awfully quiet lately. What are my thoughts about this whole Iran conflict? And I told him flat out, I said, I am not a geopolitical expert. And so I'm not weighing in on my thought. Like, I have thoughts, but I don't know enough about foreign relationships and foreign economy and all of that stuff to, like, I would just be wasting my breath voicing those opinions.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what goes on in that. Like Benjamin Netanyahu under Biden, Benjamin Netanyahu visited the White House 3 times in 4 years. Benjamin Netanyahu has been to the White House 7 times during the Trump presidency.
In one year. Yeah.
And I don't know what they're talking about. And so, like, it's hard for me to wait. Like, I'm not going to feed into the disorganization and arguments online about Iran, because I don't know. My opinions aren't valid enough to, I don't feel like they have weight. And,
well, you're 100% correct. What I think people don't understand is that even if you are a pretty good steward of what you're looking at, what you're reading, all of that, right? You're trying to get to the bottom of it. You still know 20% of the facts.
Not even that, probably.
You know 20% of what went into the decisions that are being made.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
right.
I will say what I've noticed on social media as far as this stuff is concerned, it's not nearly as bad as, or it's not nearly as in the forefront as like the Minnesota stuff. People get
right.
killed. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm not seeing it nearly as much as I was seeing that stuff. And I think maybe people are like, maybe we really don't know what's going on here.
Right.
Like, I have done some research and I'm still not 100% sure.
You notice, like on the Minnesota stuff, you notice how they pulled out the guy, I can't remember his name, that was kind of running the Minnesota area, and they put Tom Holman in there. And within 2 weeks,
yeah,
you don't see riots on TV anymore and all this stuff. And I have a feeling it's because Tom Holman went to those Minnesota leaders under the advice of Trump and said, stop fucking gaslighting your citizens into going out there and being idiots. Because, like, if you compare Minnesota's,
I mean, I can see him saying that. I don't see them, and this actually helps make my point, I don't see them doing that, which means maybe there is a whole nother level that we don't see. And
oh,
that
right.
we can't actually understand what's going on, and we are being extremely manipulated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I mean, all you got to do is listen to the Clinton depositions, and you know we're being manipulated.
Oh.
Look,
man, are we going to have a political... Are we just going to like dive into political talk, or are we going
to... We're trying not to.
I'm trying not to. I just... I don't... It's... that shit is insane
yeah.
to me. And have you noticed a whole lot of the... Where are the Epstein files posts aren't coming up as much now?
Well,
whether it's people making them or that Facebook is throttling them, maybe they're realizing that most of the bad actors are on the side of the people that were making those, where the Epstein
right.
post, you know what I mean? I just.
Right. Those fat cows from The View were all about, like, we need the files, we need the files, we need the files.
Until their names were in them.
Until their names are in them, and now they're like, well, my name's in there, but it's different.
My name was in there because I was at a wedding. Okay, let's take that for what it is. Say she's telling the truth. So can Trump not say the same thing?
Yeah.
So like,
I think is
your name in the files actually bad or not, Joy Behar, you fucking cunt?
Right.
Like, which fucking one is it?
Right. And I think they were just
stupid
running that play
bitch.
As far as they could. It's no different than any time a president starts a conflict without the approval of Congress, the opposition says it's an illegal war.
Dude,
every time.
Fucking did you see that thing the other day that was like Obama bombed 8 countries without the approval of Congress?
Yeah.
No one fucking cared then.
Well, no.
Oh, maybe it's because media wasn't fucking on your side. Maybe that's fucking why.
Well, people did care.
I'm getting mad as fuck.
But it's the Republicans. Like,
I know.
Because Obama was doing it, the Republicans are calling it a legal war.
I know.
And it's like, you almost wonder if they have this closed-door meeting where it's like, okay, we're gonna do this. You guys going to call us illegal? We need the conflict.
We
need our citizens arguing.
The more that I have these types of conversations with people, whether it's you and I agree on a lot of things,
yeah.
right? Whether it's you and I or me with people that I disagree with, and then I start thinking about it in depth, it just makes me so fucking mad.
Ultimately,
that I want to stab people in the face.
Ultimately, what we're getting at is run your business with a little bit of communism, but live your life with a little bit of democracy.
First off, that's a fucking horrible analogy. What the? No.
I'll explain it more after a word from our sponsors. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It has advanced features to run your CRM, estimates and invoices, scheduling and dispatching, good, better, best proposals, maintenance plans, and it will even import the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software you're already using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. And by simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just David and I saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8-star rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FIELDPULSE.com.
I'm not sure anyone knows me better than Mitch, but that was his way of like stomping out my aggression and moving and like this whole fucking podcast going off the rails. That being said, the other podcast that we're going to do, Frozen Delaware, mm-hmm. which is going to be on frozendelaware.com. I'm sure it'll be on Spotify and Apple. We're going to carry conversations on that are completely based on what we were just talking about there.
Yeah.
All that kind of fun stuff. So we'll let all of our listeners know when that's going to be out, but
yeah.
Do you want to get back on track or do you want to keep going?
Well,
do you want
so
to wrap
getting,
that point up and then we'll keep going?
Getting back on track, saying running your business like a little bit of communism, what that means is people, when they choose to work for you, they are choosing to play by your rules. And if your rules are you are not allowed to discuss certain things under on the clock or with other employees, that's your rules. And that goes against democracy. It's more towards communism, right? But it's what they sign up for when they agree to work for you. And
it's not forced. It's, hey, if you want this job, this is what it takes.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I mean, it's a sister of communism. How about that? Communism, you don't necessarily get the choice. You're just going to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
But this is, you're making the choice to make that wage, work at this business, and these are the rules
yeah.
inside of that business that I must abide by.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's perfectly okay for your employer to say, we do not discuss these types of things in meetings.
Yeah. And it's perfectly okay for you to say, well, I don't like that, so I'm going to quit here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You
right.
can opt out.
Right. But as a leader of a business, you do want to apply a little bit of communism, so to speak, in how you dictate what happens and what doesn't happen in your business. The best business leaders out there control more facets of the business than the weak business leaders. Weak business leaders have very little control over their business. They have very little control who they hire, who they fire, how much they pay, everything else. And that becomes apparent when you have high-paid guys that are underperforming and your P&L sucks, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, business, good business owners dictate, let's call them dictators. They dictate.
Okay. Sorry, you got me. Go ahead.
I didn't say dictators.
Stop it.
They dictate what happens and what does not happen in business. And I'm not saying you have to rule with an iron fist. You can still do that with a level of compassion. But at the same token, if conversations are happening in your business that you don't want to happen, it's your job to squelch those. It's your job to handle that. And if you have conversations happening that you don't want to happen and you don't do anything about it, then you're going to lose control of your business real quick and the inmates run the prison. And yeah, that's not what you want, right? So, you know, it's just a good parallel in from politics into business on the with freedom comes chaos. And you want freedom in your life, but you don't want chaos in your business. And so you need rigid structure, rigid rules, and then guiding your team by performance metrics. And that's simply it, right?
Yeah, agree.
And if you don't have that, you will get burned out very, very quick. You will lose your edge very fast in business because you're not in control of anything. Imagine going out, like imagine going on a diet and putting yourself through heck with diet and exercise and eating boring foods and going to the gym all the time and everything else, but you were told right out of the gate, no matter what you do, you will not have control over how much you weigh or how fit you are. You're going to do all of this, but it does not correlate into what you look like, how fat you are, or how fast you can run, or how far you can run, right?
Okay.
Who would get excited about that? Like, that would be...
No one. Well, you, maybe.
No. I wouldn't even. But that's what happens in business when you don't control the behaviors of your marketing, of your clients, of your team members, of your processes, and all of that stuff. If you let your team members control all of that, you're literally just managing a circus where you don't know where the outcome is going to be. And so that's why you have to be a little bit of a dictator when it comes to owning a business. We did a show a long time ago, like 2 years ago, where we were talking about high-performing business owners and narcissists and how they are very, very similar.
Yeah, how you're a complete
traits.
Narcissist. You're right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. And they're very, very similar traits between high-performing business owners and narcissists. And there is, I don't want to say there's a line that you have to straddle there.
No, it's a razor's edge, 100%.
But you will, if you are a high-performing business owner, there will be lazy people out there that call you a narcissist. And ironically, Jacob Stoller just posted today, like a reminder out there, hey, if you don't have a couple of haters, you're not working hard enough. Like, the haters are a sign that you're ruffling the feathers of people that have less ambition than you are, you have.
I got a lot of haters.
Yeah. Yeah. But
Shit.
It's one of those things where the haters are just projecting their insecurities onto you, right? Like,
oh, of course.
Like, what's everybody 100%. Say? What's everybody say when they see a truck that's got a 12-inch lift and 37-inch tires on it and it's loud and blinged out and chrome?
That's a small dick motherfucker.
Right. And yeah, that's just the stereotype, right? But that's also a way of hating on that style.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, it's like F-350 owners.
Oh, come on. Man.
I love you, buddy.
Yeah.
Same with Malibu boat owners.
Oh, boy. Even better.
No, it's just,
but,
you're
but
right.
Two
it's
gays
just,
make a straight, right?
That's right.
Thankfully, I'm back straight.
I got think both you of them. Mean two gays make it straight.
But there's stereotypes there, but really what it is like, you know, I see those big lifted trucks and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. It's not for me, but it's cool. Like, I can appreciate the work you've put into it.
Yeah, it's usually, I don't want to get off topic. It is usually a self-esteem thing.
Some of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I didn't feel great about myself when I was younger. Now I've got it, so I'm going to flaunt it. Or
yeah,
I'm not making as much as I should be making, and but I want to project that I am.
Yeah.
Like, usually that's, you know, what it is.
Yeah. I have another buddy of mine. I've never met him in person. We talk online all the time. His name's Jason Gerdner. Owns a big tech company in Colorado called Tacobi. But he's very, very successful, and he's all the time buying exotic cars and everything else. And ironically, just last year, he sold all of his exotics and reinvested some money back into his business. And then he started buying some exotics again after the first of the year. And he's got a badass McLaren. He's got a badass STO.
What's an STO?
Lamborghini.
Oh, okay.
Huracan STO, I
I'm
believe.
I'm not a big Lamborghini fan. I do like a good McLaren.
Yeah. He's got a Cullinan. And he's got some high-end cars.
Yeah.
And basically, his investments in his business paid off, and he is selling a portion of his business to private equity. I think it's private equity. He's not taking his business. He was thinking about taking it public, but he's selling a portion of his business to private equity.
Sold it instead.
And
I mean, now let's be honest. When you get to that level, exotic cars are an investment also.
Yeah.
Like, when your portfolio is that big, like, you've got to be
and
diverse.
And he's handling it strategically, tax-wise. He wraps them all into Kobe wraps and all of this stuff, so the company gets to reuse it as a write-off and everything else. But he does a really cool thing. Like his dad died. Everyone likes to say he's got daddy's money. His dad died and left him a wallet with $37 cash in it.
I think if my dad dies,
that's it.
What I'm going to get $37.
It's like, his dad didn't own property.
Yeah.
And so by the time Jason had to pay for his funeral expenses and everything.
Yeah, he's out.
He's out. Like, he's obviously, yeah, he's $37 doesn't go anywhere. So he doesn't have daddy's money. This is all self-made.
That is just a stereotype. If you have any sort of money at all.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Dude, we were in Colorado and we were eating at Tony's.
Yep.
And we were tipping those, like, we were buying all of our clients dinner.
What did I say? You said Colorado.
Oh, shit. I got Colorado on the brain. You know why. But, like, that one girl came up, and Mitch and I are partners in Tradewinds. We have the same Amex, all of that stuff. I had just paid. That was all.
Yep.
The other night. And she was like, oh, trust fund kid. And it's like, but that's the instant, that's what people go to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just immediately think, this person didn't earn that money.
Yeah.
It's just a natural reaction by people that, I don't want to say have less, but that's the truth,
yeah.
I guess.
They can't fathom how they would get that much money, and so you must have gotten it from dishonest, unethical, or gift-giving means.
Gift-giving is usually it, yeah.
So Jason loves to do this thing where he will post pictures of his trolls, and he'll post their trolling comment, and then he'll, like one troll would say something like, you know, that's the biggest waste of money ever and blah, 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 or you don't even know what an expensive car is or whatever.
Yeah, and then, here's my Bugatti. Oh, okay.
And no. And then he, like, goes and finds them standing in front of their Toyota Corolla.
Oh,
with
they're
the
nobodies.
Yes.
Oh, shit. They're not, like, people that are at his level.
Right.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is you'll never get hate from people above you. The hate only comes from below. And a good analogy is they can't pull you down if they're above you. They can only pull you down if they're beneath you.
Dude, that's a great tattoo.
And
that would be a great tattoo.
Yeah. And so what it means is, like I'm not above Jason by no means, but you won't see me throw shade at him because I'm looking at him for inspiration, right? And people that actually have credible advice to give him are at his level, just below his level, or above him. But the low-ranking guy that's making 60 grand a year, that's in debt up to his eyeballs and doesn't own anything and and you know, all of the stereotypical things, they're going to look at Jason and they're going to throw shade. But
didn't we have one of our first, very first podcasts, we talked about there are real haters. People are haters.
Yeah, so I used to think haters weren't real. I used to think haters were a manifestation of your own insecurities coming out in other people. And it's taken a while for me to realize that haters are real. They're nowhere near as prevalent as we like to think they are. Shade throwers are not haters. Haters, shade throwers are just getting in a snide comment and trying to win the internet that day.
Sometimes.
Haters are actively trying to hurt you. They're trying to hurt your image. They're trying to hurt your business.
Your trolls that you referred to earlier.
Yes.
Those people are haters.
Those people are haters. They're taking time out of their day to message me and try to start a fight when they could have just gone on with their day, but I'm living so rent-free in their head, they're messaging me out of the blue, right?
I love it.
Are the ones that give you one-star reviews when you haven't earned it, but they're actively trying to damage your business.
Yeah.
Right? That's a hater.
And to your point from before of, you know, it was self-esteem related. It's the same thing, but reverse. Like, that hater has self-esteem issues.
Yes.
They hate themselves for not being where you're at.
Right.
And what they do is they just try to put that off onto you versus looking inside, like you were saying before also. This is my problem.
Right.
The only thing holding me back is me.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah. And so one of the things that'll happen when you start your business is you're going to get burned out. This show has been kind of a weird show.
No, it hasn't. It's been fantastic.
It's been good, but what we've done is we have slow played a conversation that leads into the burnout that all business owners face. We're seeing it with a couple of guys in Tradewinds. David and I have both been through it personally.
Oh my God, yes.
And so the reason burnout creeps in is because you are losing focus on your passion and your vision and your mission for why you started your company or started your initiative or went down the path, whatever the path is that you went down. Diet and exercise. If you're 250 pounds and you want to get down to 200, it ain't going to happen overnight. Motivation is staring in the mirror and seeing, like, you can see your dick in the mirror, but you can't see it when you look down. Okay? That's motivating.
That's a great analogy, but...
So...
You got a dicky do. What's that mean? Where your belly sticks out more than your dicky does.
Yeah. Than your dicky do. Right. And so I saw a... That's weird.
What?
I didn't know my wife would already be home. She was supposed to be having a scan done today. But anyway.
That was an hour ago, buddy.
Yeah, I know. That went faster than I thought. But anyway,
I
saw a funny joke the other day that a wife was watching the husband stand on the scale and the husband was sucking in his stomach. And the wife was like, you realize that doesn't change how much you weigh.
Oh, shit. He was trying to see the numbers.
And he was like, yeah, but I can't see the numbers if I don't suck in the stomach, right?
So
motivation is shit like that that gets you diet and exercise and working out. But discipline is what makes you stay the course because you don't see the changes day to day, day in and day out. You don't see it. And your weight fluctuates 2 to 3 pounds a day. And so you could be on a 2 or 3 day streak of, I weigh less than I did yesterday, I weigh less than I did yesterday, I weigh less than I did yesterday. But then your water intake changes or you haven't taken a crap yet today or something like that. And now you weigh more than you did the day before. And it's demotivating, right? And so you have to stay the course with discipline to the original vision and know that you aren't going to win every day, but you can definitely win every week.
First off, I love the weight loss analogy. Like, you get on the scale, right? Can't see the numbers. In the first 3 weeks, you lose enough weight to see the numbers. In the next 2 weeks, you get to what you think your body's going to look like. The next 2 weeks, you get where your body's going to look like. But your goal may have been to get to that plus 75, plus 15 pounds of muscle, right? So you've put all this time and effort and energy in to get to that first goal. Mm-hmm. You've reached it. But you do not see the end result for a very extended amount of time.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot more discipline, energy, everything else to not only transform your body to where it looks quote unquote okay, but to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Like the diminishing return on that is overwhelming
yeah.
and is demotivating.
Yeah.
In business, it's the same way. The first 3 years, it's exciting.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about this morning.
Yep.
It's exciting. It's great. It's a challenge. You're running your ass off. You're seeing big chunks of vision knocked off.
Yep.
Every month, every 3 months, every 6 months, every year. You get to 3 and 4 years. You've put all that energy in. You can see the horizon, right?
Yep.
But you're exhausted. But you still got 3 years to go to gain that last 10 or 15%. Of your vision.
Yeah.
And it's very demotivating.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The excitement's gone. The adrenaline is gone. I've proven I can get here. You're telling me I got to keep this level up to see the last 10%?
Not only keep the level up, but keep adding intensity.
Yeah. For another 10%.
Yeah.
And what that takes is discipline.
Yeah.
It takes heartache. It takes not seeing results on a daily basis or every quarter like you were before. This is something you and I have talked about this a mm-hmm. ton over the last 3 years. This is something I struggle with constantly.
Yep.
Because I see, I'm just going to toot my own horn here. Toot my own horn here. I learn very quickly. I can adapt very quickly. So for the first year, 2 years, 3 years, I see extremely great results,
mm-hmm.
right? And I get that adrenaline rush and that feel and yes. And then after that, it's like, well, I don't want to keep at this level so I become bored.
Right.
I get distracted. I'm demotivated. But what keeps me going? The discipline part of it.
Yep.
Because I know that if I let down, that's what's going to happen. And I just have to mentally overcome that.
Yeah.
Like there's only one person that can handle it. And that's me.
Yep.
And I don't mean handle it, but deal with it. Mm-hmm. And that's me. But that takes discipline and a lot of discipline.
Yep.
And the weight loss thing is a great example of that.
Yeah.
Like if you want to simplify it, that is a great example.
Yeah. It's no different than the New Year's resolutioners that, you know, pack the gym on January 1st or January 2nd. And then by mid-February, the gym's back to its normal volume, right? They were motivated, but then they lost their discipline. And
yeah.
Motivation got them there. Discipline wasn't there, so they didn't stay there.
Yeah, it's Lent, really. Like, I want to quit drinking for Lent.
Yeah.
Well, I made it the 40 days. Is it 40 days?
Yeah.
I made it the 40 days. I feel fantastic. It's great. Look where I'm at.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just keep doing it? Well, like that would take a serious amount of discipline for me to go
right.
past 40 days.
Right.
You're right, but you may see great benefits.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah, this year I gave up Lent for Lent.
I'm not Catholic. I don't do Lent. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I give up for Lent? Not being a failure.
There you go.
And I'm already not there. So, okay.
Well, I gave up procrastinating, yeah. bitch. But, so, you know, there are guys that listen to this show that maybe 3 to 5 years in business, and they're like, man, this is not where I thought I was going to be and all of that. It's right where you need to be, though. You got to work through the arduous, boring time. You got to work through the day in and day out mundane operations, because guess what? If you didn't have your business, you'd be working at a job and you would have been arduous, boring, and mundane by month two.
Yeah.
So like you're better than when you had a job.
Yeah.
Just know that you still get complacent even as a business owner.
Yeah.
And so the smart business owners are always thinking of new challenges out there that keep pushing them in the right direction. And maybe that's for this next goal, we're going to need a lot of camaraderie from our team. And so I'm going to come up with team-based challenges that make the team grow together. Maybe that's for this next thing in business, we're going to need some capital. And so I'm going to come up with some challenges to where I can sock money away as much as possible. You've got to still take it piece by piece and break it down piece by piece. And I think a lot of people put a lot of stock into what it takes to start a business, but then they never consider what it takes to keep a business going. And starting a business and keeping it going are completely different things.
They are.
And anybody can start a business. It's no different than like a seed. Germination and maturation are different things. You grass will germinate anywhere. I got a dead spot behind my garage back there. Where where my mini split outdoor unit is.
I know where it's at.
Okay.
I knew where your garage
was. Yeah. It never grows grass, right? But I can put grass seed there every spring and it will grow. It will germinate.
But you let it die out. You don't have the discipline to keep it alive?
No. It never gets sun. And because it never sees sun, the grass will germinate because grass doesn't need sunlight to germinate.
No, it doesn't.
Right?
It'll germinate.
It needs sunlight to mature and to stay alive. And because it never sees sun, it doesn't matter how much or how little I water it or anything, because it never ever sees sun behind my garage, I never have grass back there.
Do you want a really challenging thing in your life? I'm asking you a question.
No. If it has anything to do with my lawn care, no.
Yes, it does have to. You want to show some serious discipline? You want to challenge yourself with discipline? I have some LED grow lights, and you could go out there and turn them on every couple of hours or every couple of days and grow that grass.
Right, but what do I get for it at the end? I grew grass where grass shouldn't go. Cool. Like, my wife and I had this talk.
That's the point of discipline. You and I have talked about this a lot. The point of discipline, if it's not just because you don't get a quote-unquote financial outcome, doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it.
Well,
right.
The difference is, why did I want discipline in the first place? It's because I wanted this outcome. And then once we learn how much discipline it's going to take to achieve the outcome, we start selling ourselves on reasons why I don't really want that outcome. Right?
And why didn't you just fucking gravel it?
I should. Right? Well, I actually want to AstroTurf the whole backyard.
But first off, no. I like the AstroTurf design. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I think the thought is great. When you're out there picking up shit and squirrel shit and rabbit shit and raccoon shit. And
all that stuff washes through it.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No. Does. Nope.
Plus,
nope.
I don't have dogs. I do have Rantoon.
Dude, it's neighborhood animals that are just, you got the woods back there. There'd be deer shit all over your yard for a month.
Yeah. But
we're getting really off topic here.
So lawn care is something that I could if I had the vision of having this impeccable lawn, and it was worth the discipline to do it, I would do it. But I didn't water my yard all year last year, and my yard kind of looks like shit this year.
Does it?
Yeah. It doesn't help that the neighbor's pest control guy cleaned out his chemical container in my front yard, and he killed my grass.
It's also March 3rd. Like, it's fucking cold.
Well, I know, but
it'll be back.
Look at my front yard. You'll see these areas where, like, I have to replant grass because it may as well have been gasoline they sprayed.
Maybe you should call the weed man back.
I did. They're going to fix it. They're going to fix it.
I love it.
But anyway, Danielle was like, why are you not caring about the yard as much this year? And I said, well, I got to thinking, like, is it really worth spending $250 a month on watering bills and all of this stuff just to have grass that grows faster, that we have to mow more often? And it's like, it's one of those things that for me, I didn't see value in that. And it was taking time and effort and resources away from other things that I do see value in. And essentially I told her, I said, I can't see our lawn from my boat. So I'm like, I'll do the lawn care thing after the kids are out of the house.
You're just so much nicer than me. Like, I would have been like, you know what? It's your fucking turn.
Yeah.
Like, I've been doing this shit for X amount. It's your turn.
Yeah. No, she wasn't hating on me. She was just asking, like, this used to be a thing you cared about, and now it's not. And I said, well, our kids got to the age where, like, I'm really active with them and all the time going on the boat and doing all the things. And it's like, I just,
yeah,
I would rather invest that time, effort, and energy in something else this year. And I'm probably going to do it again this year, too. But I think my irrigation system's actually kind of fucked.
Why?
One of the days where it was all like bitter cold.
Do you not blow it out at the end of every year?
I usually don't have to because of it's self-draining and the level of the yard being so sloped.
Oh, it just automatically
drains.
Siphons it.
But
it doesn't get airlocked?
No.
Oh, really?
It's got the heads are inlet and outlets, so like the heads will let air in and then let it purge out the lower heads.
Yep. Out the back.
And like twice, my lowest sprinkler, I've had to replace it.
Whoopity doo.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I have like 15 of those heads at my house.
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of them.
That's another topic I don't even know why I fucking have them. They're just at my house. You can have them all if you want.
Grant texted me one day when it was super cold, and he was like, "Why are you running the sprinklers? Like the ice, like it's icing over the yard." And the sprinkler system was off. The control box is in the off position. But for some reason, it got some electrical bug somewhere and decided to run all the zones. And so I'm probably fucked.
Oh, you didn't
have
the back water valve off?
Yeah.
Oh, that's that. You know what? You know better.
That's on me.
You're a plumber. You know better than that.
So I'm probably fucked this year. But anyway.
First off, fucked is a strong word.
Yeah.
I will say this. Get your shit straight. Like,
get your shit straight.
I'm not saying you got to run it.
Water your damn grass.
I'm not saying water your grass. I'm saying fix your shit so that it at least is working and then you can shut it off after. What the hell's the matter with you? The worst plumber.
But it comes down to like where is your vision and what is the result you're looking for, and then just keep doing things that push you closer to that result. And so, like, as my wife called out with the yard, I used to concern myself a lot with the yard, but then as things shifted with my kids, it's like, okay, the yard's going to take a back seat to kids' activities and other things like that.
Well,
right?
The kids were in the yard.
Right.
They were playing ball.
Right. They were playing in the yard.
Outside.
They were on the
four of us are outside. It's fantastic. It's nice out. Like, so it is a priority at that time.
Yeah. And when I say I can't see the yard from the lake, that's a joke, but it's also true. It's like, no, my vision and my priorities are, you know, getting as much as I can out of that, because like my kid's going to graduate at semester next year, my oldest.
Okay. He's going to live at home for 4 years. You're fine.
He might.
He's not going anywhere.
He might.
The second one for sure. The oldest one, I think you got another year with.
But it's like you start seeing, I posted this a while ago. Bobby Hines just reposted it yesterday.
Bradley?
No, Bobby Hines.
I don't know who Bobby Hines is.
He's the manager at Sandy's.
Okay.
The moment you realize that every day that passes is not one more day, it's one less, your life changes.
Well, it's one less day closer to death.
Yeah.
God.
And so, you know, I'm looking at it like in short little time blocks of like, my kids are, I'm in the prime fun time with the kids right now. Because we can drive places, we can go do things,
yeah,
and all of that shit. And it's like, I'm going to focus on that. And yeah, my yard's going to suffer, but I don't care. And the haters are going to be like, oh, fucker, can we have a nice yard? No, I'll have a nice yard when I choose to focus on it.
Well,
but
and,
right now, I just don't want to.
And back to the original point, that's your motivation pinch point.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that keeps you moving.
Yeah.
Let's be 100% honest. You didn't have to buy that super expensive boat.
No.
But you were motivated to buy that boat because of what your real motivation was spending time with my boys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that motivation, that one little edge of I don't care. I don't give a fuck if I'm overpaying for this. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is this is going to allow me to do this.
Yeah.
And this is what I want.
Yeah.
And so it lights a fire under your ass to be motivated in your business to make the money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It lights a fire under your ass to have the second business in Tradewinds, you know, to have that boat.
Yeah.
And to spend time with your boys. I think to the overall point of the show is it is difficult to find those things that will continue to motivate you at different points in your life.
Yeah.
When your kids are 3 and 5 and really you get kind of stuck up in the mundane parts of owning your business or working your job or whatever, because you don't really need a whole lot to focus on your kids at that age.
Right.
If that is your focus. I'm just using that as an example. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But if your example is to spend time with your kids, but they love to hunt, and you've got to buy a 120-acre farm close to you, and to do that, you have to work your ass off. You're going to continue to work your ass off, and motivation's not going to be a pinch point anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, one of the things that I deal with a lot personally is, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, not necessarily on the show, is I've kind of gotten to the point where I need a little bit of that carrot out in front of me,
mm-hmm.
because I've reached all the goals that I thought I was going to reach earlier.
Yep.
And so, full transparency, I'm thinking about buying this car, and I was going to pay cash, and I was going to pull some investments, and I was going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm thinking I'm just going to finance this thing so that I have a little bit of an edge, so that it makes me regain my focus. And it seems, when I think about it, it seems so stupid. It really does.
Yeah.
It seems completely asinine that I would do anything like that. But I think I need sometimes a kick in the fucking ass right now. And so it has changed. Like, I'm trying to manufacture motivation for myself.
Yeah.
At this given moment in my life. Is it going to be the same in 3 years? No, I'm going to have to reevaluate where I'm at.
One of the speakers that I got to listen to a couple of years ago, it's a room predominantly full of men, 15% women. And he says, this question's for the fellas in the room. Fellas, raise your hand if you're married. And most of the hands go up.
All the other guys laugh.
And then he says, keep your hand up if your wife has a spending problem. And most of the hands stay up. And he goes, I'm going to change your perspective for a second.
I love it.
Let's just say your wife doesn't have a spending problem. You have an earning problem. And
I mean, I get the point, but it's a pretty arrogant, dumb thing to say. But yes.
What he's hitting at is your wife is trying to live the life she wants to live. And if you stand in the way of that, then you are preventing your wife from living the life that she wants to live, or maybe the life you promised her. And it's an earning problem. And he wasn't excusing a true spending problem with the wife, right?
No, he's just using
it. He's using it as an example to motivate you of like, fellas, you should like aspire to get to a point where your wife can drop $200 a week on Amazon and you like it, right? Like,
is that why you haven't canceled your wife's credit card?
he was like, you know, retiring your wife is like one of the goals you should have.
Nah, they need something to do.
Well, I mean, everybody's different, right? Janine's a workhorse. That's a different philosophy.
Well, not to get off topic, but I think people need to have purpose. And to feel like they have purpose. And when their kids are gone, if they don't have that purpose, they become depressed.
Yes.
So regardless of it could be 100% volunteering.
They need some purpose, right?
Yeah, we all do.
But retiring your wife, in other words, making enough money to where your wife doesn't have to work, is something where that most guys would look forward to. And so he was like, you guys are like living like a walking, living contradiction if you're trying to say your wife has a spending problem, but yet it's one day your goal to retire your wife. Because like, what do you think she's going to do when you retire her? She's only spending money at that point. She's not earning money.
Yeah.
And so like you can't allow the problem to channel or turn into the wife's spending problem. You have to look at it like, what can I do to earn enough money to where I don't think my wife has a spending problem? And again,
yeah,
it's not a case of excusing a true spending problem. But it's just a different perspective of taking ownership of the problem rather than blaming it on all these external factors. And so as you guys are going through your businesses and everything else,
that's a good example.
Keep in mind the goal and the vision and make sure that you are keeping a short-term and long-term goal and vision out in front of you. You know, a lot of us focus so hard on getting a company started and off the ground that once we do it and it's working, we kind of hit the end of our vision and we don't really know what to do from there on. And then it like boring and mundane creeps in. And yeah. So, you know, level one is get the business off the ground. Level two is get it stable. And then you got to come up with like a level three and a level four and a level five. And maybe that's grow the one location. Maybe that's grow multiple locations. Maybe that's you're building this business to sell it. And there is no level five because level three was grow and scale, and level four is sale.
Yeah.
And so now you go through a sale and now you're out, right? So but keep all of those visions in mind and then keep putting challenges in front of yourself to maintain those visions, but do it in a way to where you don't allow your team to have the freedom to argue amongst themselves about shit that there is out of their control and distract you from your vision, because that will cause burnout. And so you've got to stay, as we started this conversation, you got to stay a little bit of a dictator in your company, because that's the only way you're going to see exactly what you want to see happen in your business. So
I like it, man.
Hopefully the show brought you value, made you think about things in a little bit of a different light. If you know of a business owner that's going through some burnout and getting easily distracted by a lot of other shit, send them a link to this show. Literally just hit the share button and text it to them and say, hey, I just listened to this. I thought it would do you some good. You should listen to it. So until next time, guys, we will see you later, and we will keep you apprised as to when the Frozen Delaware podcast is coming out.
Yeah. Right on.
We'll see you.
Thanks.